Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 8, Episode 89, Dave. And free agency underway with a bang, except not in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, this is going to be the Seinfeld episode. We're going to do a lot of talk. It's going to be a show about a lot of nothing, if you will. But, here we are. We're close. What do we say, Dave? We're going to put it about a noon.
Noon on Friday, and I'm going to look like I'm going to be eating some crow.
Yeah. Are you ready? Just go ahead and throw in the towel.
I got the burner warming up.
I hear you. Oh, real quick. I forgot to mention on the other show. I got to have breakfast over the weekend with Dr. Mel, who several know, girl surgeon on Twitter, and really a great asset contributor to the site, and it really is nice to be able to have someone like that with the expertise that she has and all. So we had a good couple hour of breakfast there, and shout out to her, and really enjoyed meeting her. Glad she was in Vegas for a couple of days there.
Yeah, actually, I got to meet her in Pittsburgh a couple years ago, so I concur.
I do get out of my house occasionally, so I want to get that out there. On occasion, I will leave the house.
Okay, well, a lot of guys left the house and left their teams in free agency, and we did, the names were coming fast and furious on Tuesday. The whole kind of free agency starts at 4 o'clock on Wednesday thing is, call it what you want. Obviously, things aren't going to start the moment things are allowed, and the NFL has basically given carte blanche for teams to have conversations beforehand. It's fine. No big deal. And I don't know why people waste their time talking about, whether there's tampering or not tampering. Guys are going to be out looking for jobs, and they're getting jobs, and a lot happened on Tuesday, Dave. And really, we saw the quarterback dominoes fall, and really it was Kirk Cousins released the hounds, if you will, in the sense that he kind of it became clear early on that he was going to go to Minnesota, and then everything kind of was going to fall around that. All around free agency, really, it was Kirk Cousins going to go, and when he makes his decision, that will kind of open up the quarterback market, and then that'll open up checkbooks for everybody else to kind of make their decisions and get after things. And we did, it's a lot of interesting activity. But as you correctly anticipated, the Steelers have not to this point, I'm sure they will, but they have not to this point kind of been really linked with anybody that I've seen.
Yeah, I don't see them being linked to anybody either. Now, Friday, Fridays are generally the day that they like to bring in guys for free agent visits, but I had to go back and look at last year's calendar. That might have been into the second week. I'm trying to remember if last week the first Friday or Thursday or Friday was us talking about the Dante Hightower thing. I think that was because Justin Hunter was signed. It was, I think, exactly a week into free agency. I can't remember if Hightower was a week into free agency.
Or yeah, I think Hightower was some period of time in. I don't think he was a first 48-hour situation.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And, you're right. There's been no – well, look, I mean, if there's been a free agent that came to Pittsburgh over the last couple of days, Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert weren't there during the day to meet with him anyway. They were out on the pro day, or have been out on the pro day tour right now as well. So I think my biggest takeaway, David, now look, I'm not surprised that they haven't signed anybody yet, obviously, but I am a bit surprised of how quickly some of these names have come off this inside linebacker or off the ball, better descriptions, off the ball linebacker free agent list that several would have, I think, fit with the Steelers. I mean, when you look at that list right now of the, I mean, even Tahir Whitehead signed, I think yesterday afternoon with the Raiders. Zach Brown, yo, another guy that I think you hit on again on the show the other day, re-up with the Redskins there. When you look at what's left on this free agent list right now of off the ball linebackers, David, and I put this on Twitter last night, it kind of makes Lawrence Timmons look like the waitresses at Waffle House at 3 a.m. in the morning, if you get what I'm meaning there.
I do get what you're meaning. And, you know, we talked about, you know, we were both against the signing of Timmons. We'll see. Look, we'll see where things go. The Steelers obviously weren't an early mover at a position of need in that respect. And you know, a lot of these names kind of, you can imagine what some of those guys might have looked like in black and gold. And, you know, I've had the sweets for Zach Brown for a while, and going back to last year, and there are a couple other guys that you say, you know, they'd be a good fit. Well, you know, most of those guys now are, as you mentioned, off the board. So Steelers are going to have to look at the next tier of players, and they're going to have to look at the draft, because, look, the answer, Tyler Matakevich isn't the answer, and I don't think anybody in their right mind thinks the Steelers are going to go into the 2018 season with an inside linebacking pair of Vince Williams and Tyler Matakevich. So, you know, something's going to happen here somewhere along the way, and the Steelers are keeping their powder dry. We saw the kind of the various restructures that have gone on, and we've seen the Steelers, make the moves with the roster moves, which we'll get into in a second. We have not gotten into the Robert Golden situation, which was a little bit of a surprise. But really, Robert Golden, this was a decision to move on, Dave, from a guy who is a special teams player who has, over time, it's become clear that he is not going to be part of any kind of sub-package defense you're going to play unless it's an emergency. And the Steelers moved on, and it was not a big financial gain. I think it was $1.4 million, $1.5 million that he was his scheduled cap hit. So it was a surprise because, you know, we've talked about J.J. Wilcox at length about kind of there is some serious cap saving involved with J.J. Wilcox if they were to move on from J.J. Wilcox. Robert Golden not making a lot more than the vet minimum.
Yeah, I found that a bit, you know, was I floored that Robert Golden was out the door? No, but I mean, I was obviously wasn't expecting it. And you're right, there's not a lot, you know, basically $1 million in cap savings after roster displacement took place with him. So, you know, it not a lot of savings there. This is a guy that was your up back. Special teams.
That big pass again. I think his career passing numbers are extraordinary.
Two for two.
All right.
You know, absolutely. Look, I mean, the guy.
He can't play in the base defense. He can't play in the sub-package defense. That's what it came down to, right? Simple stuff.
Okay, but here's a counter-argument to it. Look, I am by no means taking issue with them cutting Robert Golden. I just think the timing of it's a little bit peculiar. If you're going to jettison him, you know, isn't Darius Hayward Bay the offensive version of Robert Golden?
Although I guess Hayward Bay brings a little bit more to the table. I mean, we did see him make again, you know, there are a couple plays he made this year. But, yeah, it's a fair comparison.
And one of them was on the other end of Robert Golden.
Right. Hey, he did catch that pass.
Okay. Now, look, I'm trying to make light of this entire thing here, but I think you get the overall gist of what I'm saying. You know, you didn't have a lot to gain. By cutting either one of those guys, you don't have a lot to gain by that. And you had the roster spots available, why did you free up the – why did you free up the roster or the cap space? Do you have a plan there? I mean, let's look. I mean, we all understood why Mike Mitchell was out the door. We get that. You could have made a lot stronger argument to cut J.J. Wilcox, I think, than you could have Robert Golden because, I mean, look. Now, obviously, we talked, too, about saying, man, if J.J. Wilcox stays, boy, I sure would like to see that salary come down. We haven't seen that yet. Not to say that you know, that paperwork can be, you know, couldn't be filed today, and that ultimately happened. But normally that stuff would happen right around the start of the new league year. And as we mentioned too, J.J. Wilcox Couldn't even get a helmet last year. I mean, special teams penalties at the end of the year got him in the doghouse, and really after the first four games of the regular season, he played like, I don't know, 9, 10, 12 defensive snaps the rest of the season. And there were some games in there, remember, where Mitchell
– I got to say it's a bit odd. The whole scenario is a bit odd. I mean, go back to the Chicago game where, you know, Jay, he didn't make the play to, you know – get the pick, make the interception, or, you know, get the fumble. But he was in there in that game, and he was, you know, things were happening. He was around the ball, and it's odd that his playing time went the direction it did after that. And then, of course, the two big special teams penalties, the blatant holds or blocks in the back or whatever they were on a couple of returns where it's just like, you know, throw up your arms. And getting benched, you know, basically down the stretch of the season. Because, you know, look, if it was a question of who's going to play special teams, J.J. Wilcox or Robert Golden, obviously it was going to be Robert Golden. If clearly, you know, you look at it and say the Steelers think that this guy has potential as a player. Now, we didn't get to see it much. And so you're basing it on not Carnell Lake. You're basing it on Keith Butler and Mike Tomlin's assessment of J.J. Wilcox, the player. But that's the decision. Agree with it, don't agree with it, you know, to each their own. But they think J.J. Wilcox can play as a sub-package football player for the Steelers. This is not a special teams decision to this point in time. This guy can be on the field and potentially help us.
I think they view him as the best versatile safety on the roster right now. That can play potentially free and strong, and that if that's the case, that's not good. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, look again.
I mean, look who's behind.
It's hard for us to knock J.J. Wilcox a player, right? I mean, I know people want to do it, but we didn't see a lot.
We saw enough though that we could grade him poor for the first quarter of that season.
Yeah, look, I know he missed some tackles, and I know that's what people are harping on. Sample size isn't enough for me to come to a conclusion and say I know exactly the kind of player he is.
All right. Well, they obviously view him as the best versatile safety on the roster right now, and there's not many. look at their safety depth chart right now, David. It's
three guys, right?
Well, Sean Davis, J.J. Wilcox, Jordan Dangerfield, who really, I mean, let's face it, he's a box guy. And, look, you know, he had a good game that one time he had to start against, what was it, Kansas City? But, I mean, they don't view him as – I mean, he's going to have a tough time making a roster, I think, this year. And then the kid out of Penn State who got injured last year that they brought back on a future deal.
Right.
Marcus Golden.
Right.
Malik Golden. I'm sorry, Malik Golden. That's it. I mean, that is it right now. Now, you know, are they going to fill a spot here? Here's the thing. We talk about the inside linebackers and how they've come off the board in free agency. The safety market mighty fickle so far, right? I mean, you still got guys, at least by the time I got on Twitter or got on with you on the podcast this morning, haven't been signed. The Trey Bostons.
Nobody. It's been, the safety market has been dead slow, and that's, you know, that's interesting to see as well. And you know, it would assume is giving the Steelers an opportunity to at least have conversations with everybody if they wanted to.
You know, Kenny Vaccaro is another name. Of course, everybody going to try to link to. There was the article, I don't know if you read, on Pro Football Talk about Eric Reedon wondering if he's getting the Colin Kaepernick treatment right now. I think that's a little bit of a stretch to say with all these safeties. You know, if a guy like Boston was already gone and a guy like Vaccaro and one of these other guys were still were already gone, and it was like Reed was the king of the mountain right now. You know, if Tyrann Mathieu was off the market and it was just Reed for a couple of days, maybe you could sit there and say Eric Reed's being blackballed. But I think it's a little bit of a stretch to say that now. I know a lot of fans, you know, of the Steelers, people listening to this show are probably, wanting the team to bring in Tyrann Mathieu. But, you know, and I know he's saying the right things. You know, I'd rather go to a winning, you know, in so many words, winning organization more so than money, yada, yada, yada. But let's face it, he's not going to sign for cheap, and he's still going to probably walk away with the 9 or 10 or whatever million dollars he's looking to make this year alone. And, I mean, he has had some injury, you know, issues the last – several seasons, and to hear,
would you sign him for 4 years, $40 million, with, you know, $18 million guaranteed? Would you sign him up at $10 million a year?
David, I gotta be honest, I probably wouldn't, but maybe I think a little bit too much from following this cap and all like that. You know, I think it's a heck of a risk with him. And you go back and you listen, I was reminded.
You think it's more of a risk because of injury, or, I mean, what do you think the risk is?
I think with just the injury and the player that he is right now, just worried about some of these injuries. I mean, he could just as easily rebound and be an all-pro Pro Bowl player for the next 4 or 5 years in a row, you know?
Yeah, I think if somebody signed, sealed, and delivered him at $10 million a year with kind of, you know, 2 years guaranteed essentially, which is how these things kind of go, I think I'd do the deal.
You dang sure wouldn't be drafting a safety in the first or second round, would you?
Maybe in this. Yeah, I mean, you might. It certainly changes your priority list to inside linebacker, inside linebacker, inside linebacker, inside linebacker. But I mean, yeah, it moves it down the list. I don't think it takes it off the board, but it moves it down the list.
You know, here's the thing: when his release became official, I went back and listened to, of course, Kevin Colbert at the combine gives like three or four different sets of interviews, and one of them was on Sirius XM radio with I think the Move in the Chain guys. I went back and I remember him talking about Tyrann Mathieu during that interview, and I thought, boy, that's strange for him to, you know, talk about a player under contract with another team. You know, you can barely get Kevin Colbert talk about his own players sometimes, let alone a guy under contract with another team. But I went back and listened to it, and he didn't say much about it, but he did. It was in lieu of talking about how Tyrann Mathieu kind of changed what defenses do at certain kind of positions, and he related that to Tyrann being more of a slot corner, slot safety kind of dime player. Okay, and in that same sentence, he says, well, we got a guy like in Mike Hilton who secured that role for us. Okay, so it wasn't a lot, it wasn't but a sentence or two to go off of. But my takeaway from that, from that comment on Colbert on Tyrann Mathieu was more like, well, we view him as a slot corner, slot safety, and we have one of those right now we're happy with in Mike Hilton. So, you know, that's not the end all do all, you know, obviously. But I mean, if you got a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, where would you play him? Would you try to play him in the Mike Mitchell, you know, deep role?
I mean, I think that's where you'd think about starting him. But yeah, you're right. I mean, look, Mike Hilton was, again, versus expectations, did anybody on the defense play better than Mike Hilton? No. Mike Hilton was a guy out of nowhere that, you know, in June, most people never heard Mike Hilton's name and weren't paying attention. And I have to say, you know, even through training camp, I wasn't paying that much attention. But it became very clear toward the middle to the end of training camp and the preseason games that Mike Hilton had a role. And we saw Mike Hilton kind of grow into that role as the season went on. There are not many guys on the defense who had a better season than Mike Hilton.
Right. And you know, I'm looking at kind of where Arizona had him playing in last year, and it was mostly as a cornerback, you know, as a slot cornerback is where it looks like he saw most of his snaps at last year. So let's scroll back through. Now he obviously played. He started the season in 2016 as more of a free safety role, but then he switched over to more of a slot role, and until he suffered that injury, which of course ended his season there. 2015, he played a lot of the slot role. It looks like, according to what Pro Football Focus has on him as well. And in 2014, he played, you know, predominantly both safety spots. So he, you know, if there's anything about Tyrann Mathieu, is he is a very versatile player. So obviously, if you did sign him and you're the Steelers and you brought him into Pittsburgh, it would probably, you would think, be as a deep safety. But are you not playing, by putting him in that role, are you not playing to his talents? You know, his strengths, I guess you could say, of being more of a slot player?
Well, that's the right question, right? You know, are you putting him in the best position to succeed and, you know, doing the most for your defense?
Right. Now, not saying that, I mean, it's not like you have anything invested in Mike Hilton, but, you know, if...
Well, I you're not. Look, there are a lot. You got bigger needs than Mike Hilton's spot. That's for damn sure.
Right. And I mean, how many times have we seen the Steelers go out? I mean, for them to give a guy like Mike Mitchell 25 over five out of nowhere, basically. Remember back a couple.
Yep.
I
mean, yep.
That was literally kind of out of nowhere. Now we knew that they were likely to address the position. We just didn't think it'd be that soon and a guy like Mike Mitchell, and for that kind of money. I mean, I think I'd be shocked if they gave a guy like Tyrann Mathieu $9 or $10 million.
Well, you know, look, we go back to this, and this came up with the Chris Hubbard thing. Is, you know, I was doing some research and then talking about it on Twitter. Chris Hubbard made more money as a free agent than the Steelers have ever paid anybody. And, you know, we go back, Mike Mitchell's the, you know, 5 and 25. Ironically, it's, I think, the Penguins number is the biggest free agent contract they've given, is with Paul Martin and Sergei Gonchar. I think they were 5 and 25. Mike Mitchell at 5 and 25. If you're excluding Joe Hayden here, and let's just talk about it in the kind of the free agent period that we're talking about at this time of year, Joe Hayden wasn't off, and he obviously got more money. But, you know, the Steelers haven't paid money in free agency, and Dont'a Hightower clearly would have been the highest paid free agent that they had signed if they had signed him last year. They obviously made an offer to him, and he didn't accept it. But, you know, the numbers we're talking about anybody here anybody we've discussed in a serious nature. We're talking about Tyrann Mathieu. We're talking about $9-10 million a year. That would be twice the dollar value. Again, Joe Hayden made $9 million a year. So, but you know, Mitchell. And then you go past Mike Mitchell, and the Steelers just haven't done it. I mean, Mike Mitchell was the exception, Dave. As you said, kind of out of the blue, first day, bang, that deal's done. And, you know, we had just in the Kevin Colbert era, we have seen that happen very infrequently.
Well, you know, if you brought him in at 9 or 10, he'd probably be, depending on the exact, I mean, Joe Hayden's deal averages what, the $9 million or so, and then Cameron Hayward's like at 10.4. I mean, you'd be bringing in, you know, basically the second most. I mean, he would be your second highest earner on the defensive side of the ball. Now, some will argue that this is the fault. This is where you can find fault in the Steelers' free agent process right now, is that they haven't done a good job or good enough job of developing, through the draft, their own defensive players to get back to that 2005, 2002, 2008 kind of defense there, that in order for them to get back to that, they're going to have to spend money, but yet they choose to do it. So, I mean, there is obviously a good argument to be made, and if they don't do anything right now, at either the linebacker or the safety position during free agency, then they're going to. I mean, there's only one other way you're going to fill it, right?
I mean they're going to be stuck if they don't, and it'd be a surprise.
And how many times do we see Kevin caught me? And look, there are some good safeties that we think that the Steelers have their mind on or their eye on in this draft. There is potentially one or two. I mean, Kevin Colbert has come out and said that as far as the inside linebacker or off the ball linebackers go, that there's not a lot of impactful, you know, guys. No, I think he said he likes the safety class, but can you go into the draft with the 28th overall pick, knowing you know, thinking that you're going to absolutely get one of two players, saying, let's say in Justin Reed and Jesse Bates. I mean, that's a hell of a gamble, right? I mean, and that's just a gamble that Kevin Colbert just normally doesn't take. I don't think. Now, maybe holding on to Wilcox is kind of his ace in the hole, if you will. But that's, to me, that's kind of playing poker with a deck of cards, and the ace has kind of got that crinkle at the top, and everybody knows it, you know, kind of thing. So I still think, even though there hasn't been a lot happen, or really anything, or nothing happened so far with him in free agency, there's still part of me thinks that somehow, some way, they're going to address at least the inside linebacker position. Now, I guess a good time to kind of segue here is, you know, there's this rumor now with the Eagles that they're either going to dump or trade Michael Kendricks. This is a guy, and I wrote about this the other day after they had re-signed Nigel Bradham. This is a guy in Kendricks that made a... He has all the boxes checked as far as being a potential free agent addition for the Steelers. He was a pre-draft visitor back in, what was it, 2012, 2013, whatever year it was. He's played the inside under Chip Kelly, when they ran that kind of 3-4. I thought he probably maybe had his best season as an inside linebacker in that position. He's a guy that if you traded for his contract right now, you could live with it, you know, while you develop another guy. And even after that, you know, you have a guy that could probably maybe, you know, re-sign at a lower amount after his contract ends, yada, yada. And if he's cutting on the street from the Eagles here in a couple of days, you know, a guy that I would think that you'd be able to sign a lot, you know, or somewhat cheaper than, being as how this market just got flooded with all these contracts from these inside linebackers, one would think that you'd be able to get him a little bit cheaper than some of these guys have. And, you know, he's the former, what was he, second-round draft pick, yada, yada. So is Kevin Colbert trying to smoke out Michael Kendricks? How surprised would you be if Michael Kendricks ended up being the guy? Because let's face it, outside of that right now, I know a lot of people say, well, Preston Brown's still out there. And look, Preston Brown has put up some great tackle numbers, but, you know, he is, to me, he's just a run defender only, and he's had some issues there. Not a guy that he definitely not a guy that going to help you in coverage and that kind of thing. You know, outside,
you give up a seventh round draft pick in a heartbeat for Michael Kendricks.
I would, and you know, I think you'd be able to afford that. What has he got? Something like a $5 million base salary.
Yeah, it's not nothing crazy.
Right, it's not crazy, and I don't think his money next year is either. But I mean, look, I mean, if you're trading for a guy, you're not acquiring any of that that dead money to go along with it too. So you could technically be one and done with him. Although that's not what the Steelers normally do when they trade for players, as we're finding out right now with
well, I mean, look, JJ Wilcox, we've seen it, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, Michael Kendricks, slide him right in. Yeah, sign me up for that.
5.85 is what is due Kendricks right now in 2018, and plus he's got a workout bonus due of $150,000. So $6 million it would cost you. That's amazingly, the Steelers have just a little more than that in salary cap space right now.
So, just on the Wilcox thing, I 100% firmly believe the Steelers are not keeping J.J. Wilcox because they traded a sixth-round draft pick or whatever it was for him. I know that's been written a bit and people have talked about that. I fully don't believe the Steelers are like, oh, you know, let's make a decision because a year ago we traded the draft pick, so we're going to keep J.J. They traded the draft pick because they thought J.J. Wilcox was a good football player and they like him. Now, maybe that evaluation is wrong, but I don't think they're making decisions looking in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, I don't either. And look, you don't have a six to trade to – I would easily give up a six next year, but is that something the Eagles would even take for him? Maybe they would. I mean, look, how surprised will you be if Michael Kendricks is on that roster 30 days from now? On the Eagles roster?
I'm not deep enough into the Eagles roster, but I know, you know, they're over the cap and they're trying to, they've had to make moves to get compliant and do some things. Now, the Eagles have been, I'll tell you, man, Howie Roseman, executive of the year, but executive of the decade. I mean, that guy's come in and done stuff. And again, we see him signed Haloti Ngata. They signed Bradham to the long-term deal. They made a bunch of moves here. It's the opposite Kevin Colbert. Howie Roseman has been just crazy active around the Eagles since the day he took over, rebuilding that roster and doing things that very proactively. And if you're a fan, see your team in the news a lot, makes it kind of fun. But on top of that, he's got a Super Bowl out of it. So nothing but kudos for the way they've gone after things. And what comes with that is guys move along and you see this, the Eagles have had to move on from some guys already, and they're going to have to move on from some more guys, but in season making the trade for Jay Ajayi, we see kind of the moves they've made at the receiver position, what they've done to continually build up that defensive line and adding Haloti Ngata and the various moves they've made. It's a fun time to be an Eagle fan, that's for sure.
And it might end up being cheaper to trade for Kendricks than it would sign him off the street,
I would prefer to trade for him. Just, give me those 2 years of the contract, and you have him. You don't have to bid against anybody. If he were on the open market, he would get at least $5 million. I mean, no, 5.8. I mean, no doubt he would get his salary.
Okay, so then would you trade a fifth? You have 2 fifths this year, right?
Yeah, look, I mean, if you identify him as your guy and you've got him for the next 2 years, I think it's worth a fifth-round pick. Obviously, I don't see – you're not going to trade your third-round pick for him, but, I would trade my fifth-round pick, second, fifth-round pick for him, sure.
And the only reason I think we're on this and spending a lot of time with it now, I obviously wrote about it because the first thing that came to my head as soon as they re-signed Nigel Bradham, and I obviously remember that Kendrick's coming in for a pre-draft visit several years ago, is just the way that this inside linebacker market has dried up now. And, as we talked about, I'm a huge Lawrence Timmons fan of his time in Pittsburgh. But I mean, we're almost to the point now where you might have to consider bringing him back as your best option, because A, he knows what's going on. B, he might be one of the best available at the price. I mean, obviously now at his price, it's going to be minimum or damn near at minimum for Lawrence Timmons. And that's even if he wants to play anymore. We don't, I think he does. Because like we said, I mean, just look at the list of guys that are already off the board with these inside linebacker and who's left. And it's really the Brown out of Buffalo, and really, I think that's about it right now.
Yeah, I'm just like I said, I thought the Steelers would make a move here in the first 48 hours. They have two glaring positions of need, two defensive starters. They're down. And I thought, I thought early in free agency here, you'd see them address one of them. So I'm a bit, look, I was wrong. I'm a bit surprised. Doesn't mean they're not going to do it. I just thought they would be aggressive with a name they liked at the linebacker or safety position, and hadn't happened yet. And it certainly doesn't feel like there's a lot going on now. Clearly, we're not sitting sitting on Water Street in I think it's Water Street down there in the South Side, so I don't know exactly what's going on in the Steeler offices, but we'll just twiddle our thumbs until something happens.
Let me ask certainly. Do you think we missed your first deadline? Do you think they still add an inside linebacker, an outside from outside the organization, an inside linebacker or a safety?
By the next podcast, by Tuesday.
I'll give you till next Friday.
Good God, I would think so. Next Friday, I would think so. I mean, I thought they'd do it now, so obviously I got to stick to my guns and say they're going to do it. So, you know, next Friday, man, the dust will have – next Friday we'll look at free agency as being over. Obviously things will happen, but free agency is over. I mean, free agency – some people argue free agency is already over. I'll say by next Tuesday when we're kind of a week into it, then, you know, you would think most of the big names, most of the competitive names – if you will be done. But man, if the Steelers have done nothing by next Friday, I'll be surprised.
And I, you know, like I've said all along, I thought that if of the two positions, safety and inside linebacker, I thought inside linebacker would be the one that would be addressed, not, you know, eight, nine days into this thing. But man, the list is certainly shrinking right now, and as we talked about a few minutes ago, you know, after I guess we should cover real quick. Obviously, they made the cuts that we, you know, expected to make in Mike Mitchell and William Gay. Add Robert Golden to that list, who we already discussed, and then they restructured the contract of Alejandro Villanueva. So that gives them four contract restructures this offseason, and Stephon Tuitt, David DeCastro, Antonio Brown, and Alejandro Villanueva. Those three cuts, it doesn't sound like anything's going to get done with Ben Roethlisberger and his contract this offseason. You know, as far as that goes, they could obviously still restructure a guy like Cameron Hayward to free up a little bit. You know, $5.5 million when it comes to that. And here, another inside linebacker off the board, it looks like. Kevin Pierre-Louis signs with the Jets, I think, got him. Now, he was an interesting guy, a pre-draft visitor several years with a few years ago with the Steelers, kind of an up-and-coming guy, but he had that, DUI, I think earlier this offseason here. So that kind of sent him down to the bottom of the list. So he's off the market right now as far as inside linebackers go. But the Steelers right now, a little less than $6.5 million underneath the cap, David. Oh, we do have one Steelers signing to talk about, though.
I can't believe it took us 40 minutes to get to the man Fitztuchon.
I've nicknamed him to help appease fans, Honey Toussaint.
That's good. It's good.
Hey,
Toussaint the Badger.
Yeah.
Toussaint Badger.
Did you see my tweet the other day? I said the closest Yen's likely to get to a honey badger this offseason is an undrafted Wisconsin Badger.
Yeah, I mean, we have Michigan Badger, right? Michigan Badger?
That's a Wolverine, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, Toussaint was a Michigan guy. I was trying to think of the what connection we could draw. But
I got you.
Yeah, so look, Fitz. You know, I thought the Steelers might at some point here re-sign Stephen Ridley. Fitz is a guy. He absolutely has a role as a 53rd guy on a roster. Mike loves him as a special teams guy. He likes his character. I mean, I know from my days sitting in the press room, listening to Mike talk, listen to Mike wax eloquent about Fitz as a kick returner, which means you like the guy when you're waxing eloquent about Fitz as a kick returner. I mean, I can tell you exactly where I was sitting asking Mike about my man, who's the corner from the Bengals that I wanted to return kick so badly.
You mean from the Browns, Justin Gilbert?
Yeah, Justin Gilbert, right. Asking him why Justin Gilbert's not returning kicks and him pivoting to Fitz Toussaint, me just kind of quizzically thinking, are we having the same conversation here about, you know, guys returning kicks? But yeah, Mike has a spot for Fitz, and Fitz has a spot as a third, potentially fourth running back on the roster as a special teams guy. So, you know, that is what it is. So no surprise, they need backs, and he's got a spot.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of stuff. Steeler fans I know are taking issue with the re-signing, but it's going to be for the minimum. It's a one.
There's nothing to take issue with. I mean, he's a body coming to camp.
Right, and that's it. I mean, and look what you have going into this offseason at the running back position right now. You have Le'Veon Bell is going to be nowhere in sight for these practices. James Conner, he's still got to be several weeks away, if not months away, on his rehab, right? Stevon Ridley is gone or not back in the door yet, unrestricted free agent. Terrell Watson signed a futures contract with the Giants several weeks ago. You don't have anybody back there right now, so at least you need a body back there, and that's exactly what Fitzgerald Toussaint is right now. And let's remember that this is a 90-man roster. If he can win a roster spot, absolutely fantastic. But I don't think he will, and this does not prevent you from addressing the running back position late in the draft again either. So there is absolutely nothing wrong with them re-signing the Honey Toussaint, as you will, right now.
The Honey Toussaint, I like it. All right. How about Chris Hubbard getting big dollars? And, of course, Joe Thomas announces his retirement. I don't know that Chris Hubbard's going to be the starting left tackle for the Browns, but
he might. No, he said during an interview with the media yesterday, I think it was, that he's come here to play right tackle.
Okay, so he's going to be their starting right tackle, and you know, Todd Haley knows what he has. And, there were some Steeler fans who were pulling their hair out when Marcus Gilbert went down. And I was making the argument that you will not notice. I'd be surprised if you notice a difference at right tackle with Chris Hubbard there. And he filled in admirably in the four games that Gilbert was gone, and maybe another he missed because of injury. He's a capable player in the league. I have to say I was a little bit surprised at the amount of money he got. But good for him.
Yeah, but when you drill down that contract, David, it's actually good for the Browns. They only gave him $4 million signing bonus as part of the deal. Now he's going to make, I think it's $9 million in 2018. So the rest of it though is he's got a
roster bonus, like a $6 million roster bonus in year two or something.
Well, his base salary goes from being injury guaranteed to fully guaranteed on the third day, basically this same time next year. So
yeah, and you assume, barring something really unforeseen, that he's going to get that money.
Well, if he stinks and can't be a starter, you're not going to pay him. I don't think you're going to pay him that six.
Well, I say, but I mean, here's the look. We've seen him play. They've seen him play. We saw him start some games last year. That would be a surprise.
Right, but what I'm getting at is, this is a good deal for the Browns.
They have an out. They have an out.
They have an out.
If it's a disaster, they have an out.
Right, and look, it's a good deal for Chris Hubbard too. He's going to an offense with an offense coordinator that knows all about him. He proved last year he could play right tackle, and look, he's got that versatility too. He can step in at guard and play even center. God forbid that you need him to. So that makes a lot of sense with him going there. The Steelers, it looks like for now, fifth round compensatory value for him signing with the Browns, but that's probably going to be the only notable unrestricted free agent to leave the Steelers sign elsewhere. And of course, if the Steelers sign an unrestricted free agent from another team here in the coming weeks at a decent amount, well, then that's going to neutralize that. And speaking of a couple of the guys that signed the big money contracts with other teams last year, Lawrence Timmons and Marcus Wheaton are already on the street.
Lawrence Timmons and Marcus Wheaton are, so, you know, look, I know there's, again, you know, I try to temper what I see on Twitter with, the real world. I just don't see either guy. Neither guy was, I don't see either guy, being in a Steeler uniform next year.
Yeah,
and as big a fan as I was of Marcus Wheaton, I have zero interest in him coming back.
Yeah, how surprised would you be if he'd have won?
Well, you never get. Look, the Steelers have some history with their own. So it's like we talked about with Robert Golden. You're not surprised at all that he was cut. Didn't see it coming, but not surprised. When you think about it, and they made a decision, and you understand why they made the decision. They want to move on and get a guy who can maybe add more as a defensive player on the roster, and they figure they can relatively easily fill that special teams role. We've seen if they brought either guy back, you'd see you can understand the logic. They know the player. He's been productive. He knows the system. Not a lot of work to do with Wheaton. You could say he's been injured, blah, blah, blah. You know, you could just point back to the Seattle game. That's all you got to do, and that's enough of a justification. That Seattle game when Richard Sherman shut down Antonio Brown and Ben went, bonkers with Wheaton for 200-plus yards. Well, he's a guy who is, he's still mystifying to me. One of the more mystifying things over the past couple of years is him and Ben not being able to be on the same page consistently during his career. Just remember that Cleveland game, the Miami game. It's like, well, how long have you guys been working together now that you're looking at each other like you've never seen each other? It's like the first day of training camp for a guy who's supposed to be a smart route runner. The confusion that they had was surprising. But anyway, the point being that the logic for both these guys, it's easy to get to the logic. I just don't see it happening.
All right, what other position? I mean, wide receiver would really be the only other position that you would maybe think that the Steelers might bring in a minimum salary.
Yeah, you find Justin Hunter. You find this year's Justin Hunter.
Yeah, the problem is I went through that complete. The NFL released the true 500 something names of guys that became free agents on Wednesday there, and I put that thing into an Excel spreadsheet and sorted it and everything. And then went one by one, looking at the off the ball linebackers and the wide receivers, and of course several of them you had to cross out already had deals in place. A wide receiver right now, it's as ugly as the line. Well, really, outside of the safety position right now, is there anybody? And why aren't we talking more about Trey Boston too? Here we had all that. We had 10-minute conversation about Tyrann Mathieu. I'd much rather, if you're going to pay somebody, if you're going to pay somebody
$8 million, $9 million,
right? I mean, look, I love what Honey Badger is or has done. I really think he might be more of a slot guy or best suited. We just had that big talk about where you could best use his talents. We've seen Trey Boston make an impact as a free safety. One would think, where is his value? Our buddy Joel Corey, former NFL agent, I asked him, a couple of weeks ago, free agent market value of Trey Boston this offseason, and I put question mark, $8 million per. He says, and this was on February the 16th, Joel Corey says, probably not that much. So, what if you could get a Trey Boston for $6 million per?
I'm not opposed. Look, you had Mike Mitchell at $5 million. I'd be surprised if we get him for $6 million, but yeah, look, sure. Just sign him up.
And then even so, would you still think about spending an early round draft pick on one of these top safeties if they were there?
Well, like I said, look, if you sign a guy who's going to step in tomorrow and you expect to have him 3 to 5 years, safety moves down on your list. I don't think it goes off your list because we've talked about the lack of depth, but it certainly, you look at other places where. Look, the Steelers they're going to draft a safety somewhere along the way. They need to add to that defensive backfield. But again, you can look at a lot of places, particularly at that in that linebacking core again and again, and another defensive lineman. Look, they need help at all three levels. So, pretty straightforward stuff. Just to switch gears for one second here, did the Ravens all of a sudden have buyer's remorse on Ryan Grant? What was up? What's up with that?
He
can work out today. You know, he said he could play a game today if he had to, and they failed him on the physical.
Yeah, something to do with an ankle or something, right?
Yeah, his ankle, right. I just wonder if that's buyer's remorse. They say, okay, 5 days later, like, you know what? Let's fail him on the physical because we're not all that excited to have him. I mean, he's visiting the Colts today, and, you know, his quote is, he could play a game today if he had to.
Well, that's his agent, right? Or no? Or is that?
Maybe it was his agent, but yeah, yeah. He's been working out without issue, apparently. And
well,
yeah, no, I think Grant said he would be able to play today. That's it.
As good as or as above average as the Steelers have been in evaluating wide receivers, the Ravens have not.
The Ravens in the pay. Well, we thought, you know, we all had Jordy Nelson going on to New England. He's all set. He takes a Michael Crabtree role. So Derek Carr is going to be firing to Amani Cooper and Jordy Nelson. Be interesting to see how that plays out.
And, you know, the thing with the Ravens, too, I remember there was a headline at beginning of last year? I think it was after they had signed Macklin, right? They said, the Ravens had the best wide receiver group in the NFL. It's one of those NFL.com videos or whatnot, and I giggled to myself. I mean, you have right now, I mean, Mike Wallace is on the free agent market right now. They parted ways with Macklin. The other kid, Perryman, who they drafted in the first,
been a disaster.
Disaster there. I mean, they are starting over right there. Now, who they already re-signed? They already signed somebody. Who was it that the Ravens already signed? Maybe didn't they sign someone in addition to Grant? I'm already drawing a blank.
Campanero? I don't know. I'm trying to think of anybody who's actually on. I'm looking it up. I'm looking up their depth chart because I can't think of anybody who they have as let's see who they list as their receivers. Chris Moore, Campanero.
Well, Campanero's a free agent too.
Yeah, he's a free agent. Mike Wallace and Perriman. I mean, they don't have anybody. Chris Moore was a fourth round pick 2 years ago. I can't even remember how many catches do you think he had last year? I don't even know. Their wide receiver position looks like the Steelers' safety position.
Boy, they're a mess, and don't they? I mean, they're gonna...
Oh, John Brown.
That's what I was thinking of.
They did sign John Brown, who's a guy. I mean, you know, he's fast.
Yeah, but he's another one that's battled the injury bug a little bit.
Yep.
You know, that's something they can't afford to have. You know, that's something that they've had problems with the last couple of years. Wide receivers, I think, missing some games among other people. I mean, like granted, Ravens had they got really, really bit by the injury bug last year. So yeah, Brown was the other one.
Did you see the Tyler Eifert stat that somebody threw up there? Tyler Eifert in the last 3 years has 16 red zone touchdowns, and that's tied for third in the NFL. I think the leader has 18. He's played 23 of 48 games during that time.
Wow.
23. So he's a red zone threat. He re-signs with the Bengals on a one-year deal. I'm a massive Tyler Eifert fan. He has not been able to stay on the field, but he has caused the Steelers problems at times and you know, certainly as a weapon for Andy Dalton if he can stay healthy.
Do we know if that rumors – there was a report a couple of days ago that the Raiders might trade for Vontaze Burfict, but I haven't seen anything. I mean, it was from an obscure, I think, a Bay Area reporter, TV reporter, and you haven't seen anything about that since.
I saw what you saw. So, and they bounce it around. Usually, you know, when you hear those rumors, they do generally come to fruition pretty quickly because, you know, a deal is about to happen. So you see those things hit, and then they hit. This one didn't, so I don't know any more than that.
All right. One final thing we can kind of wrap up about the Steelers: Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, and Randy Feitner. At the very least, those three were at the Oklahoma State Pro Day on Thursday, spending a lot of time with Mason Rudolph. And obviously James Washington, the wide receiver, was there. They were easily visible in the middle of the field after Mason Rudolph's workout there. Anything at all to that?
No more than every other place they go. There, Mike Tomlin is a visible man. He is not afraid. He is not a wallflower. He's not, you know, he wants the opportunity to get engaged and get involved, and that's one of his best attributes. So, yeah, nothing more to it than he's doing his homework. And, you know, I saw something that said, you know, every team was represented at the Arizona State, the Wake Forest, and the whatever pro days the other day. It's the damn business that they're in. Every team better be represented at most of these big-time pro days. That's your job. Get out there, get and do it. Mike likes doing it, so good on him.
Right, but, I mean, let's face it. When it comes to general managers and head coach combos, Colbert and Tomlin really make the rounds.
They get out there. They do their job. Good for them. And I'm all for it.
And
as every Steeler fan should be.
Oh yeah, I find it, being as how nothing happens during free agency this time.
Right, might as well talk about something.
I like playing Where's Tomlin.
Get the map out.
With a quick license agreement, I could probably get a board game made out of that, right? And we could also have Kevin Colbert Monopoly, which would be the anti-Monopoly. Kevin Colbert,
right.
Kevin Colbert free agent Monopoly, where you try to the person who spends the less money wins. That's not as funny to you, is it? But
it's good.
It is to me. But okay. So you're not buying – you would buy more into the dinner with James Washington the night before than you would and look, they could be sitting in the middle of the field with Mason Rudolph asking 90 questions about James Washington.
Look, they should talk to Mason Rudolph. They're going to need a quarterback, you know, 3 years from now. So they should talk to, you know, Josh Allen. They should talk to Baker Mayfield. They should talk to all of these guys.
How surprised would you be if the Steelers pick a quarterback in the first round?
I'd be damn surprised. Now, having said that, if for some reason Josh Rosen is at 28 or Baker Mayfield's at 28, I'll be a lot less surprised. If the names – I'd be surprised if they took Lamar Jackson at 28. He's a name who could be there. I'd be a bit surprised if they took Mason Rudolph at 28, a name who could be there at 28. If one of the other four guys is there, I wouldn't be all that surprised because something happened. But if they took those two guys at 28, I'd be surprised.
There's no way. Can you imagine a guy like Rudolph falling into the second round? To the 60th overall pick to the Steelers? I mean, surely a team would go get him before that, right?
Who? Rudolph?
Rudolph.
I'll be shocked if any of those guys. To be honest with you, I won't be at all surprised if six quarterbacks are gone by the time the Steelers draft. I mean, Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, Allen, Jackson, and Rudolph. If all six of them are gone, it would not surprise me. And I'd be shocked actually if four aren't gone, and six would not surprise. I would actually bet on six being gone.
I think there's a better shot at five, but maybe that's why they're. Maybe that's why they're. Let me ask you, David. If you're Cincinnati, where do they move down to now in the first round?
21. Yeah, 21. They went 12 to 21.
If let's say
if Baker Mayfield's sitting there, absolutely they should take him. They should absolutely jump all over.
What if those four are gone and Rudolph's on the board there?
That's your evaluation then. The Bengals are an interesting spot because I don't think they're contenders this year. I don't think that they look to me from where I sit right now as an 8-8 team, 7-9, 8-8 type of team. So what's your goal? Can you add a player at 21 that you say, you know what, this is a difference maker on our what is there? If we get a right guard, in the first round that we can plug and play for the next 6 years. I don't know if that's the Andy Dalton question. Andy Dalton, you're in a tough spot with Andy Dalton. If I'm the Ravens, I'm taking a quarterback. Andy Dalton's again. He's the 15th or 16th best quarterback in the NFL. What does that get you? How long do you want to keep riding that train? He's not a bad quarterback. He's not an elite quarterback. So what's that do for you in the NFL? It puts you in that mid level of kind of purgatory.
And here's the thing with the Bengals, McCarron's gone now. He's in Buffalo. So you need a backup quarterback.
Yeah, they'll be taking somebody, you know, in those, you would think, all in right, the front
so,
half.
So you need a backup quarterback anyway, and here's something else to consider, David. Next year, Andy Dalton's under contract, I believe, till 2020. They can get out from under his contract after this year for nothing.
Yep.
No dead money, no nothing. And they could free up $16 million in cap space, 16-2, as a matter of fact, next year. So, in other words, if you went out and you drafted a quarterback right now, one of these guys, in say Mason Rudolph or you know, insert one of those five there, right now, and you give Andy Dalton, you know, half the
season. Obviously, that's not their plan, right? Because you wouldn't have moved from 12. I mean, you got your left tackle, great, but your plan is to stick with Andy Dalton because you wouldn't have moved from 12 because 12, you know, you can get somebody. 21, you don't know you can get somebody. So their plan is not to go quarterback in the first round, clearly.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I would consider it though. I guess if I was him,
I would too. I think it's the right conversation, but it would seem to be not on their radar, at least based on the actions we've seen so far.
I mean, there's a lot of things you could say that team needs right now, offensive line or whatnot. You don't? Do you expect them to go offensive line at 21? No.
No, I don't. I imagine that. Look, they're not going to go. They went. Look, you, John Ross has got to. He's got to contribute, and Mixon's got to contribute. You went skill position offensively last year. That's, you know, you put your money in the bank there, like they did with the offensive line a couple years ago, and it didn't pay off on the offensive line decisions when they went bang bang first two picks offensive line. The Ogukubug, the guys whose name we can't pronounce. You had to go get Cody Glenn. So that didn't work. I think Mixon will work out. We'll see with Ross. He did nothing last year. Tyler Boyd hasn't really probably lived up to what everybody had hoped, but I wouldn't write him off. You got Tyler Eifert. You obviously got AJ. So you've got your skill position guys. You're set. So you're going to go find somebody, particularly if you're talking about moving Vontez Perfect, you're going to find somebody with that first round pick on the defensive side of the ball.
Right. Could that, I mean, in other words, if Roquan Smith were to fall,
he's gone. You're right. Perfect fit. Yep.
He's not going to fall past them. If he falls that far, one would think that might be a landing spot for, you know, if Smith's off the board, maybe that's where Evans or, you know, I know there's been talk about Leighton Vander Esch going maybe earlier too. You know, you would think that would be kind of the landing spot right in that wheelhouse for an end. I mean, they're okay kind of on the back end, right, with their cornerbacks and all
Yeah, the corners, they're good in the defensive secondary.
So you would think, you know, to me, it's either linebacker or quarterback for the Bengals at that spot where they're at now.
Yeah, that sounds right. Sounds right.
Now one other thing, well, before we wrap up real quick here, what do you think all this activity with inside or off the ball linebackers, in free agency, what do you think it does to maybe, or do you think
No, five guys signing $7 million contracts, I don't think it means anything in the bigger picture of the league.
Of the draft. So you don't see a guy like Evans or maybe Vander Esch sliding out of the first round? In other words, does it lend any?
I think it's more the opposite. I think it's the guys realize there's not a lot of talent there. Let's get our own, or let's get our guy here, and, you know, because there are only a couple guys. Because there are not 10 of them. There are 3 of them.
In other words, it lends credence to what Kevin Colbert said, that impactful line inside or off the ball linebackers in this draft.
Yeah, we're not going to find them in the draft, so let's not bank on getting one of 3. Let's get one of the 7 who's available now.
Well, if indeed what you just said is the case, then the Steelers better get busy finding, you know, trading for Michael Kendricks, right? I mean,
yeah, let's get that done this week.
Because, I mean, it all sounds easy when we do these mock drafts every year to say, okay, the Steelers will take Rashad Evans or Leighton Vander Esch here, and, oh, it'll line up perfectly where this safety will fall to him. And you cannot go into the draft that way. And I think come us – having a podcast this same time next week, David, Friday, if they have not addressed either the inside linebacker position or the safety position in some way, shape, form, whatever, I think that's when we'll probably be the most surprised, right?
Yeah.
All right. That was a pretty good show about nothing, right?
Yeah, pretty good Honey Toussaint show.
All right.
The Honey Toussaint episode.
In the meantime, we'll see if David's able to join me on Tuesday, if there's enough action for him to talk about. If not, then Alex Cazorla will be back with me on Tuesday. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we do and you want to donate to the cause, go to SteelersDepot.com, please, and hit that donate button, upper right navigation bar. I probably one of our best shows about nothing we've ever had, David.
As always, enjoy the weekend. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.